Okay, this is David Corus. Call the meeting to order of the Joint Finance Committee and Audit Compliance and Governance Committee. It is 10:02 a.m. I'm going to call the meeting to order, and in no particular order, I will read off members. I'll do first members who are on both committees. I'm obviously here, David Corus. Paul Hinch.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
And John Flores. Okay, now John's absent. Members of just the Finance Committee, John Johnson.
Here.
And Parker Wise.
Here.
And then members of just Audit, Compliance, and Governance, Carlo Leone.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum of each committee, and with that, I will open it up for public comment. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak at this time?
And the line is open. If there are any members of the public who wish to speak, please press your line.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next item. We will start with the Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee agenda. I will start with entertaining a motion to approve the joint committee meeting minutes from March 15th, 2022. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Tom. Any comments, questions, or desired changes? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next item on the agenda here is statutory required annual reports update. And I'm going to ask Andrew if he can give folks an update on status of annual reports.
Good morning, everybody. Just a quick overview of some of the annual reporting we provide. There are 15 reports that the authority provides annually to, and in some cases quarterly, to various entities. Three of those reports are provided quarterly, and we have a separate three that are provided annually. The staff is currently working on a 2022 calendar year operations and projects report, where we provide a general overview of our board actions and major programs, and that is provided to the legislature and the governor's office. We hope to have a draft to this committee to review sometime in the next couple weeks, because that report is due December 15th. So right now it's we've shot off a copy to OPM and DAS, who are statutorily required to review portions of one of those reports, and then we hope to have your review of those prior to our submission on the 15th. So we do anticipate reconvening the audit committee sometime before the 15th of December. So we'll be sending
Andrew, would you make sure that the print is the same size as what you sent over to us, then nobody will be able to read it.
On the recap, yeah, the recap there is just for you, John.
Yeah, really. man, get out the microscope.
It's, Yeah, the good news is it'll be a larger print. The downside there will just be that it's going to be a long report.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks.
So no action from the committee on those at this time. It's really just a heads up that we'll have a draft to you sometime in the coming weeks here so that we can reconvene and discuss this report for the committee's review and approval, along with some other business we'll have for the committee in the next month as well.
All right, any questions or comments on that? Okay, old business. I think in this old business section, we're going to get an update on our ongoing audit, both our external audit and the state audit that's underway for fiscal years 20 and 21.
Right. Well, let me just kick this off. Good morning, everyone. This is Ulysses Hammond. Good morning. Just a real overview of the fact that we have 1.5 staff members who have been really inundated, if you will, with requests from two audits that are being conducted simultaneously. With respect to the state audit, that one started in April, and it appears as though now it's going to be ending prior to Christmas. We still do not have a draft report, but we anticipate that draft will be coming sometime between now and the 25th of December. However, with respect to that report, our office received about 74 items being requested, which required really about 148 documents to be pulled and submitted to the state auditors. We feel pretty confident right now that we have now responded thoroughly to all of those requests. We also worked with OPM with respect to some of those requests as well, and they've been very, very cooperative. The other audit is our own CPA audit, and that audit started in June. We have received from our own auditors, Cohn Resnick, about 50 items being requested, which has resulted in about 108 documents being pulled and now are also being submitted. That audit should conclude by the end of this month. So hopefully by our board meeting, we should be in a position at that point in time to actually have an audit that has been completed and being reported to the board. So that's sort of in a nutshell where we are with respect to the audits. But let me and ask Veronica if, in fact, there's anything that she would like to add, because it's been Veronica who's really been under the gun along with Lori in responding, if you will, to the myriad of requests that we have received over the past few months with respect to these audits. So, Veronica, anything you would like to add?
No, I think that you summarized it well. I'm open to any questions that the members have about the two audits. If I can answer them, I will at this time.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, how many hours a week is Veronica putting in? Are you putting in 80 hours or 120 hours?
Probably more like 150.
I believe it. I believe it. Oh, my God.
Damn. No, it's been very, very heavy lifting here. It really has been. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. God awful.
Yeah, this is Tom. I spoke with our auditors about, I guess it's been 2 or 3 weeks ago. They were midway through the audit. They were very very pleased with the Port Authority's responsiveness. Thought the financials were in quite good shape, and they were worried a little bit about the dual efforts, you know, both with the state audit and the in the Port Authority audit, and were seeing if they could get some relief on the part of that. But they were very optimistic that this year's audit would be a quite good one.
Good to hear. Okay. Good to hear.
Yeah, and hopefully that juxtaposition will do us well. I mean, I don't think there's significant red flags in the state audit, but this is going to be a unique opportunity for the public and our various constituencies of the legislature and beyond to see not just a snapshot, but an evolution across three fiscal years. And it is looking like those documents will, knocking on wood, reflect the positive changes that we've all been working so hard to achieve. And so, while there will undoubtedly be things from several fiscal years ago that we'll have to answer questions about, it's nice to have it out there simultaneous to some context that we can point to about where we've come since then.
And it sounds like our response, David, to the auditors has been really fabulous, and we certainly owe a great deal of thanks to all of our staff, no question about it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Any other questions or comments on either of the audits? Obviously, we were kind of hoping today we were a little further along, but given the volume and the simultaneous nature, we'll no doubt have significant progress by the time we get together next month.
Great.
Okay. Carlo, if you have someplace to be, you are free to go. That wraps up the audit, compliance, and governance piece, although you're obviously welcome to stay on if you like.
Great. Thanks. I'll stick around for a minute, and then I will drop off. Thank you.
Yeah. Cheers. So moving on to the Finance Committee agenda, I'll start by entertaining a motion to approve the October 18th Finance Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved, David.
Yeah, moved by John. Is there a second?
Second from Tom.
Second from Tom. Any comments, discussion, requested changes?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I did not attend the October 18th meeting, so can I approve it or should I just abstain?
It's better practice to abstain.
Okay. Right. I do then.
Other comments or questions? Okay. I'll take any other abstentions. Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. With that, Ulysses and Veronica, I'll hand it over to you both for the financial update.
Well, thank you, David. As you well know, this is really the regular monthly update of revenue and expenses, and Veronica has also provided, if you will, a cash accounting as requested by John Johnson at the bottom of the report. There's also a legal breakout, as well as the AACOM status report update. And so let me turn this over to Veronica for any comments and also any questions that you might have regarding the report that has been provided.
Thank you, Ulysses.
Hey, Veronica. Sorry, Veronica. This is Tom. Just for the record, before you start, I'm going to have to drop it 8:20, so I'll do that without announcing that.
Well, all right, or I can talk fast.
No.
Okay, on the general operations, really, nothing that I needed to make you aware of as far as any problems. We did receive our second quarter DOT appropriation and revenue, $80,000, so that brings it up to $280,000 so far for this fiscal year. As you can see, the pilot commission revenue is now at $45,200, So I'm glad that we increased that budget number to $90,000 last month. The board had approved that increase to the 2023 budget. Payrolls in line with what we were projecting, first quarter has been posted. The other expenses in the contractual area, as you can see, really not a lot of activity yet. There will be as invoices start coming in. I do have legal services separated out, but as you can see, for legal services, line 51600 internal, we've only spent from July to October $1,676. However, in external matters for legal, we are up to $43,311. So, and I can just mention to you that a big portion of it is FOIA, and then there are some expenses that have to do with the pilot commission administrative hearing. So, but we're on top of that as far as keeping them separated and reporting them out to you that way. All the other marketing development, really no major movement there. Administrative and general expenses as we process, the rent payment on a monthly basis. I do want to point out that last month I had the water sewer fire, stormwater. I had the electric bill on the separate line, and I shouldn't have. It really belongs in line 52601, and the actuals as of the end of October is 8,603, which includes electricity. We did pay a small amount for CPA. General operations insurance, and we paid our impact fee to the City of New London of $79,591. So right now, we are running in the red. The net is a negative $218, which is down from what it was last month. But like I said, all year, that's going to be a number that goes up and down as we do get some revenue in. But we're trying to hold the line on the expenses, taking action of like deferring memberships that we traditionally have, maybe putting them off until fiscal year 2024 when we can afford them, because it adds up, 300 there, 600 there. So we're trying trimming. 2023, as I keep saying, is going to be very tight, and we're trimming where we can. At the bottom, John Johnson had asked me to report on the cash account, which is our Essex 6805, and I show you where we started July 1st and where we are as far as cash for general operations as of October. So you have cash in the bank to cover those fluctuations throughout the fiscal year. Waiting on revenue to come in, but we do have expenses that we have to pay. Are there any questions on general ops?
I just have a few comments, Veronica. I think it's fabulous that we're one-third of the way through the year, and most of the expenses are less than a third, something like 24 or 25%. So I think that's absolutely fabulous. I thank you for the cash on hand balances. And one thing that, and I don't mean to burden you, but is it possible to just generalize the external legal services as to which is what can you like where is the pilot's situation? Where is that in the external? Which number is that? The 15,181 or the 15,627? And I don't need an explanation right now, but maybe next month you could give us just a general breakdown as to what each bill refers to.
I do have that information. So are you saying that for external, you would like me to
you can verbally, or you can put it in writing. You know, I just think that, you know, accountability is good, and you know, we all are always upset when we have to, when we have that big line item, and right now it's, you know, $43,000, so it'd be, or 45, so it would be great to just know what it is from a board level, you know.
Okay.
If you think it's confidential, don't do it. But if we can, I'd like to know.
Okay, can provide that. No problems.
Okay, great. Thanks. Other than that, as far as I'm concerned, it's just a wonderful report. Simple and easy to understand.
And I did include the core project bond. Right now, like as I mentioned last month, I have now started to move core project dollars into QuickBooks so that we can easily see what our balances are. The ones you see there are projects that I actually have documents to support my opening balances in QuickBooks. Of course, there's a lot of other core projects that are still out there that I'm still researching. It just takes time. But in this particular case, as you can see on the core project bond report, has opening balances and where we've actually started to pay invoices out of core using the state treasurer's office. For example, Fort Trumbull, opening balance was $750,000, and we're now down to $522,000 because we have processed invoices. And the same way with Piping Plover. So as the year goes on, you'll see more and more of the debits and the credits there.
And Veronica, do you write those checks? Yeah. Veronica, do you write those checks, or does somebody else write the checks?
Well, that question is, when we pay out of core, state treasurer's office writes those checks.
I got you. Okay.
Okay. No, but for general operations, you know, we have the checking account in
right,
assets 6805. And I've also included ACOM's latest project status report. I believe this what you saw this last month when you voted on amendment number, I think it was 8. Yes. But what's really important in my mind is that they summarized the available funding, which was $255.5 million. They have a number for their encumbered soft costs and the hard costs. And according to ACOM, the contract administrator, the available funding is
$334,138.
I had to look at that for a second. I thought, is that not millions? No, it's $334,000.
Just barely breaks a quarter.
That would be nice. That would be great. Right.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, but, you know, ACOM and I, we're really, over the last month or two, have gotten into a rhythm, if you will, so that they provide reports to me. I understand what I'm looking at. Questions go back and forth between myself and Donovan Morris and Mike Garbalski. So, yeah, things are, in my opinion, things are moving along with the New London State Pier project.
Awesome.
It doesn't scare me like it did a month or two ago.
Or any of us either.
So that's all I had for today. Oh, and I probably, it's 10:25, so I ran over 5 minutes.
He didn't talk fast enough. That's great. Thank you so much, though, Veronica. Really appreciate it.
Right. Other questions or comments? All right. Anyone have any old business they want to bring up? Anybody have any new business they'd like to suggest we take up? Right. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, my God. So moved.
Moved by John. Is there a second? Second by Parker. He is adjourned at 10:28. Thanks, everyone, for the time and your expediency.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Talk to you all soon.
Take care. Bye.